Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I, a poor, miserable sinner. We say those words so often here in our confession, and it can be easy to sometimes say them without really thinking about them, maybe without really meaning them. But those words that we speak about ourselves, as unflattering as they are true. And there are times when the truth of those words does hit home. Times when we think back to things we've said that we wish so much we could unsay. Things we've done that we wish so much we could undo. Things that we wish we had said or done when we had the chance, but didn't. Times when we're afraid that someone might find out about something we've done that we're ashamed of. And when we stop and realize that regardless of what we might be able to hide from other people, nothing that we think, say, or do is hidden from the Lord. In such times, we are confronted with the unpleasant truth that we honestly are poor, miserable sinners. And that is true of all of us. As Paul says in Romans, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We might not think about these things all that often, because it's easier not to. But when we do stop and think about such things, when we do take a hard, honest look at our own sin, it can have the effect of not only making us uncomfortable with ourselves and who we are, it can also make us uncomfortable, even fearful, before the Lord. It can leave us feeling that we're not so sure we really want to know what God would want to say to us if we were standing before him face to face. Because of our God-given consciences, none of us are strangers to those kinds of thoughts. And as we see in today's scripture readings, neither were Isaiah or Peter. In our Old Testament reading, we hear of the day that the Lord first called Isaiah to be his prophet. In the year 740 BC, Isaiah saw the Lord himself in the temple, sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, the train of his robe filling the temple, while around him flew seraphim, six-winged angels, calling out the Lord's praises, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of the angels' voices, the foundations of the thresholds shook. What Isaiah saw and heard that day was an overwhelmingly powerful experience. And Isaiah was indeed overwhelmed. More specifically, he was completely overcome with fear. Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isaiah knew his sin, and he knew the Lord's holiness. And so he knew that he did not belong there, that he in his sin did not belong in the presence of this holy, holy, holy Lord. And so he feared, much like we sometimes do when our conscience and God's law strike our hearts, and also much like we see happening to Peter in our gospel reading. In today's gospel reading, we hear the Lord calling Simon Peter to be his disciple, and we see that what happened that day has a lot in common with what happened at the calling of Isaiah. One day at the Lake of Gennesaret, which is also known as the Sea of Galilee, Jesus had been teaching the crowds. The people gathered along the shore, and Jesus spoke to them from Peter's boat, which was out just a little ways from the land. When Jesus had finished his teaching, He told Peter to take his boat out into the deeper waters and cast his net. Peter replied that they had been fishing the whole night and caught nothing, but that he would nevertheless do as Jesus had asked. So he did, and the catch of fish was so large that the nets began breaking. Another boat had to come out and help them, and the weight of the fish they pulled in was so great that both boats began sinking under the weight of all the fish. Upon witnessing this miraculous demonstration of Jesus' divine power, Peter rightly perceived that he was in the presence of true holiness. And he had the self-awareness to know that he, a sinner, a poor, miserable sinner, did not belong in the presence of such holiness. So he responded much like Isaiah had before him. As Peter said to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What we see here in these readings, what we see in Isaiah and in Peter, is an honest recognition of our sin and of the seriousness of our sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And our sin means that we are not worthy of coming into the Lord's holy presence. It means that we are worthy, we are justly deserving of his temporal and eternal punishment. We so say those words so often here in our confession, just like the words, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." And again, it can be easy to sometimes say the words that we are justly deserving of God's temporal and eternal punishment without really thinking about them. But again, those words are true. What we deserve from a righteous judge is his judgment, for we are guilty, not innocent. And what we deserve from a holy God is to be cast out of his holy presence. That is what Isaiah and Peter rightly recognized, and that's why they and we, when our sins are weighing heavily on us, can find ourselves fearful at the prospect of standing before the Lord. After all, what is a holy God to do with sinners like us? Well, in our scripture readings today, we see exactly what the Lord does, in fact, do with sinners like us. What does he do? First, he comes to us. He doesn't depart from us, as Peter pleaded with him to do, and he does not cast us out from his presence. Our Lord comes to us. He came to Isaiah in the temple. He came to Peter in his boat. He comes to us here in the Lord's house and wherever else we might be. He comes to us, poor, miserable sinners, with hearts torn apart by our sin. And he comes to us not to condemn us, but to comfort us. He comes and says to us, just like he said to Peter, "Do not be afraid." For our Lord comes to us in mercy. But that raises the question, how is this possible? He is, after all, a holy God. And we are, after all, poor, miserable sinners. And holiness is opposed to sin. So how then can God not be opposed to us, but instead welcome us sinners into his holy presence? In light of his holiness and our sin, how can God not be against us, but instead be for us? A holy God cannot condone or justify sin, nor in his righteousness and truthfulness? Can he downplay the seriousness of our sin or simply pretend that our sins never happened? To do so would not be truthful, it would not be just, it would not be holy, it would not be right. And so God does not condone or downplay or simply ignore our sin. Instead, he does something far, far better. He provides atonement for our sin. Because of our sin, we do justly deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. But God loves us far too much to want to give us what we deserve. And so instead, he made another way for us. The price of our sin needed to be paid. And so the Lord himself paid the price for all our sins. For our iniquity, for all our violations against all that is holy and good and right, justice needed to be served. And so the Lord himself served our sins in our place. In Jesus Christ, God became man so that he could pay the debt that mankind owed. He took on flesh and blood so that he could offer up his body and pour out his blood as the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. On the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself the punishment that we deserve, so that, being set free from our sins, we can instead receive from the Lord blessings without number that we do not and could never deserve. Forgiveness, life, salvation, God's perfect, unending, unconditional love, a place at his table now, and a room in his house for eternity. That is why the Lord now comes to us. He comes to us especially in times of worry or fear and says to us, "Do not be afraid, for our sins have been fully atoned for." And that is true for all of us. That means that is true for you. As Paul says in Romans, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an atoning sacrifice by his blood to be received by faith. That's why the Lord tells us not to be afraid. That's also why Jesus told Peter not to be afraid. Though Peter was right when he said, "I am a sinful man, O Lord," the one there with him in that boat had come to this earth for the express purpose of paying for all of Peter's sins, along with all of our sins, and saving him and us from our sins. And so, with his redemption assured, there was no need for Peter to be afraid. And that is also the reason for the comfort that Isaiah was given. Isaiah was right in acknowledging that he was a sinful man from a sinful people, or as he put it, a man of unclean lips from a people of unclean lips. But as we heard in our reading, one of the seraphim took a coal from the altar, touched it to Isaiah's lips, and assured him that his sins were atoned for. So what exactly was happening there? The coal was from the altar, which was the place of sacrifice. And what was the significance of the Old Testament sacrifices? All the Old Testament sacrifices were pointing ahead to the final atoning sacrifice that would ultimately be made for our sins, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it was in view of that sacrifice to come that forgiveness was granted to Isaiah and to all the Old Testament believers. Their comfort came from the promise that God would provide the atoning sacrifice for all their sins. In other words, from beginning to end, from Adam and Eve to Isaiah to Peter to us and our children to generations yet to come, the basis of our assurance before the Lord, the reason that we do not have to be afraid, the reason for the hope that we have within is and has always been Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, our Savior. So, what does this mean for us today? Most importantly, it means that because of Jesus and what he has done for us, we can now come before the Lord in faith rather than fear, knowing that we will receive from the Lord comfort rather than condemnation. And so we come, not denying or downplaying our sins, but trusting in Jesus Christ for the full forgiveness of all our sins. For if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it also means that we now have the privilege of sharing that good news of forgiveness, the good news of Jesus, with others. After the Lord had assured Isaiah of his forgiveness, he then commissioned Isaiah to be his prophet who would bring God's word to the people. And the central message of the word that Isaiah brought was the promise of a Savior who would atone for our sins. As Isaiah spoke about a child who would be born to us, a son who would be given to us, who would be our Prince of Peace, a son who would come as a servant, who would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, so that by his wounds we would be healed. Similarly, after the Lord had calmed Peter's fears in the boat that day, he then called him to be one of his disciples. And he did so with the promise that from now on, instead of catching fish, he would be catching men. And so Peter did indeed spend the rest of his life as a fisher of men, catching men, which of course also includes women and children, catching men in the net of the gospel. Now, we might not be prophets like Isaiah, and most of us are not called to leave behind our nets, our livelihoods, as we follow the Lord like Peter. But we do all have the privilege of sharing with the people in our lives the good news of what Jesus has done for us and for them. Parents teaching children, children reminding parents, friends telling one another, taking advantage of the opportunities that God gives us to simply pass along the good news of Jesus from one forgiven sinner to another, so that they, just like you and I, can be caught in the saving net of the gospel and can rejoice in the good news. You are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, our holy, holy, holy God, who loves and forgives sinners. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.